Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love and your grace. I thank you for being here this morning. And Father, we ask for your words to fill Londa, that she would be able to impart your heart to us. I thank you for your love and your grace and your forgiveness and for pursuing us. I thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to start off this morning saying that, I see that you all have lovely smiles on this morning and everything is fine. And I would like to think that I'm the same way, but it doesn't always work that way. So as we're traveling yesterday, driving down the road, and I'm driving and make this comment about somebody, and it just begins to come out, my stuff. And so she casually says,
very casually.
It was non-threatening. Would you like to take care of this? Because it was anger that was coming out. And the reason why I'm saying this is because the world says, okay, you need to go see your psychiatrist, your counselor, your whatever, make an appointment sometime down the road and then deal with it. And that's just typical world. The problem is that I don't have time. I'm in the moment. I want justice. I want to take care of myself. And so with that spirit of anger, there was self-protection, there was self-comfort, there was self-elevation, and there was this idea that I am going to make the world right so that I can protect myself, which doesn't work. But the thing was that as I'm driving down the road, in the moment, she says, would you like to take care of this? Would you like to deal with it? Because with those benefits, how far does it get me, really? No place until the next time that it rises up. And so we went for a value exchange, and the Lord gave me, in place of the anger, he always does something different every time, but this time, immediately, as I gave him my self-justice, my self-elevation, my self-protection, the words of the Lord came, the spirit of wisdom, spirit of revelation, spirit of counsel and might, spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And what is that? That's the Holy Spirit. I'd rather have that than my stuff. And so this is what it's about, is in the moment. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with yourself?
Thank you, babe. That it's the tool I'm going to give you today. I've been teaching it in workshops. It's something the Lord gave me about 2-3 years ago. I've been doing inner healing. For those of you that don't know me, I've been doing inner healing here at Voice since 2003. And it's been a very, very intense and powerful journey because I really got jumped in with both feet, and I've not stopped. So in that, the Lord has, so I learned one method which is a method that we used here in Voice for memory cleansing. It goes into memories and how to clean out memories. It's very powerful. But then through that journey and the intense way that I operated in it, the Lord's brought me into a place where he's got this simplified into a very short, don't have to go to memories. We call it the value exchange. And if you make this value exchange a lifestyle, you can walk in the extravagant peace of God. I walk in a lot of peace. It's easy for me to get back. Not that I don't have my moments. I do. But they're short. They're momentary moments. The sun doesn't go down on my moment. I can't afford it. My body yells at me if I do, if I let it go. My body's very, very sensitive to negativity, to stress and that kind of thing. And so I feel it physically. So even if my emotions aren't connected to it, if my body starts acting up, the Lord's got me in such a place I can't get away with anything. I have to take it. But I love that, and I've invited him to do that. I love this. I found this scripture in Psalm. And David says, "Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart." How many of us invite the Lord to do that? Seriously. How many of you invite the Lord to test you and to try your heart? Yeah, few of you can say yes because you've been walking this out. But some of you, I know, are sitting there going, yeah, no, that's scary. That's scary. If God knew so seriously, God knows what's in your mind. We might as well admit it, right? So what keeps us from walking in peace? The Bible also tells us in 1 Corinthians, it says, in 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, "For who has known the mind of Christ, the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him?" Isn't that what we try to do a lot of times? We try to tell God what's the best course of action here, how this should look, what I'm thinking would be the best way to work this out, or how to get there, or how to punish that person that just hurt me so dearly, so strongly, I should say. We try to tell the Lord what's on his mind. And it actually is turned around. It says, "But we have the mind of Christ." The mind of Christ is kingdom focused. God is kingdom. Jesus is perfectly aligned with the will of the Father. And he says, we have his mind, right? So as a Christian, you have God in you, right? You've got Holy Spirit living in you. You've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ, the Bible tells us, is in perfect peace. In harmony with the Lord, with the Father. So why aren't we living in perfect peace? The Bible also says, "I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me." What keeps us from having our mind stayed on the Lord, focused on the Lord? What keeps us from doing that? It's all that minutia that goes up in there. That there's a bunch of negativity from the time we're conceived, from the time our little spirits are birthed in conception here on the planet Earth. The enemy starts attacking us. We have, bless everyone that's a parent. I am one, but I was a wounded. I came into the world, and shortly after that, I was wounded, and I raised wounded children. It's the way it works. Woundedness, we tend to pass down our woundedness. So there's a remedy for that. Jesus did not leave us helpless and hopeless and defenseless. He left us with power and authority. He gave us his very spirit to live and dwell in us. There's power in the Lord. There's power in victory and freedom, and he gave us tools to do it. This is a tool that he's given me because of the years that I've invested in inner healing. He's anointed me and filled me with the power to take this to a new level. It's for you. That is all for you. That it's not to elevate me. God, every gift in you, the Lord asked me last night, and I've heard him ask me this. He keeps me, on task. What will you do with what you've been given? What will you do with what you, every one of you have been given something good from the Lord? Enemy tries to give you a lot of bad things, and we do a lot of bad things with those things because that just produces after its own kind, right? Negativity, bitterness, anger, resentment, hatred, jealousy, fear, all produce after its own kind. But the fruit of the Spirit, the joy and the peace, the goodness, the grace and the mercy, those things produce after its own kind. Every gift that you've been given, every spiritual gift, everything about you, because you are one with God. John 17:20 says that you are one with God the Father and God the Son. Holy Spirit dwells in you, so you are one with God. Everything in you is for the well-being of another, and everything in them is for your well-being. So you don't have to, all this self-focus has to go because it's not about us. It's about my life is for you, and your life is for me, and together we bring glory to the one, right? All right, so living in extravagant peace. Have to look at my notes. My computer was not working, so it's like, you guys did make the notes right, because otherwise I'll not have. But I could teach this blindfolded. In James, it says, I love this scripture because it's like used to produce so much like weirdness in me when I thought about it. Like, how's that possible? Consider it all joy. Y'all love this one too. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. How many of you get excited about your trial? Okay, 2, 3. You're what?
It's not good excited. But I get excited.
It's not good excited? No, I mean joyful about your trials. Anybody get joy, like excited, joyful? Okay, come on. At the end of this, there's going to be a lot of hands going up on that. There's going to be a lot of hands. Because when you read scripture like this, you have to understand God's heart in it. He's telling you that there is power. His power is available to you in the trial, and that power will always trump the evilness that's coming against you. Always. Who's got the greater power, right? Who's got that really? The creator or the created? Satan is created. Creator, God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, Holy Spirit in you has power and dominion and all authority over every evil thing that could come at you. That doesn't mean we're not going to have those trials. They look ugly. That means that we know who's got victory and who will cause us to endure through that trial and grow in it. Consider it all joy. So this is like Papa. Just think of Papa telling you this. Jesus telling you this, because he even went to the cross considering it joy. Not liking it. He didn't like it. He begged, he prayed before the Lord, Father, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but yours. That's the way we approach those really ugly trials. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It's when you, so what the trial does, this is gross, but I like to think of it as a pimple. So, it's such a good analogy. So most of you have had them. Some of you have been blessed not to have one. If you haven't had one, you've seen them. Because there's enough of us as teenagers that had them. So that pimple, it rises up. And when it starts to rise up, it's painful. Right? It's painful. And it gets bigger and bigger and more obvious to everybody. And it's on your nose. There's no way to hide it. And that pimple gets bigger and bigger. And pretty soon, you can't help yourself. You've got to pop it. What comes out when you pop it? It's pus. Same thing happens to us when we're squeezed in a trial. Whatever's in there is going to come out. And if it's pus, yay. Yay. Because then you know it's there. And it's not, you're not hiding yourself from yourself anymore. You're not trying to put makeup on. Girls put makeup on it. Guys use that other stick. Stop trying to cover it up, and you're admitting, at this point you've got to admit, I've just been squeezed till that popped. And if it's ugly in there, that's what's going to come out. If you got Holy Spirit full of Jesus, the mind of Christ in there, what's going to come out? In the worst trial. It's going to be a fragrant aroma to the Lord. It's going to bring him glory. You're going to be at peace in that trial. Not that you enjoyed it. We're not masochists, or whatever that word is. We don't enjoy, but we can be joyful. We don't invite the trials, but we don't have to fear them. So how do we do that? You do it through the value exchange. So everybody got your notes? Anybody need notes? If you need notes, raise your hand. So I want you all to get this. I want you all to practice this. Make it a lifestyle. As you can see, Chris and I are making it a lifestyle. He does the same to me. We have an agreement that if something ugly comes out, we want to help each other. And so I'd like to have another little testimony. Rochelle, could you come up and give? Rochelle's got a really quick, awesome testimony. Is what happens when you embrace this as a lifestyle. You've got a gun constantly. Well, that maybe there's a lot of issues about gun. You've got pepper spray in which you can. Pepper spray is not going to get it out, though. Take it. You got a weapon that will kill the enemy, all right? So, it's ever ready. When you get this down, it's ever ready in a moment's notice.
Yeah, Londa taught me the value exchange. And for me personally, it's changed my life in such a wonderful way. I see myself personally able to walk through the storm in peace and even joy. So God is so good. And so I've taken the value exchange and I use it all the time. I think probably almost every day of my life I lead someone through a value exchange. Even 4 o'clock this morning, I had somebody call me, and they were having a panic attack at 4 o'clock. And they tried medicine, and it didn't work. And so over the phone, I led them through a value exchange. And Jesus did what only he can do. And the panic attack was just immediately gone. And they could feel the peace of Jesus and his love for them. And I've even done the value exchange on people who don't believe in Jesus and aren't even sure that they believe in God. And when they feel his heart for them, they want Jesus. And they ask at that moment, they will want him, and they will ask him into their lives. And I keep seeing more of that happening too. So you don't even have to believe in Jesus because he loves them. And so this is amazing. This is a lifestyle. Yes. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Over medicine, isn't that awesome? That is awesome. We become, so what happens with the value exchange is you begin to become God-focused instead of self-focused. Our negative, troubled minds, all that anxiety, all that fear, anger, things that you've struggled with all your life to get over, bad memories, whatever's in that memory, eating disorder, everything, compulsive disorders, just all of that will causes you to be constantly thinking in negativity, become self-focused. And we don't want to. Sometimes it becomes such a habit we don't even realize we're doing it. I know I had, a lot of you know, I had a lot of diseases a few years ago and was pretty ill. And I became seriously self-focused. When you have long-term illness, you can't hardly, your mind, and you don't know how to be free of it. Your mind tries to, you're constantly thinking of ways to cope, how to think about it, how to think about God loves me and why am I not healed, and all kinds of like confusion gets in your head. And then you begin to, subconsciously your mind works to create benefit from the negativity. So I became, actually the illnesses started becoming part of my identity. And then when I, part of me wanted healing, but part of me kind of liked the attention. Part of me kind of thought, well, if I get bad enough, the doctor's already talking about disability. Maybe I could do that, and you go that way without even realizing it. It's because I was self-focused and not God-focused. I'm earthly focused, not kingdom focused. We have a kingdom mind that we've been giving, and we need to think from that kingdom perspective. So we need to go higher. We need to go higher into the heaven, into the kingdom, and bring that thought down rather than trying to say to God, see, we've been given the mind of Christ, but what we often want to think is that we're giving God, God has our mind. Like God should think like we do. I've even heard people say, well, if I were God, I would have done this a lot. You've all heard that. You might have said it. If I were God, I wouldn't, well, guess what? You're not. I'm not. And he's got a kingdom mind that we all want and we can pull on. It's his promise to us that we can be, we're one with him. And he says, seek me and you'll find me. Holy Spirit's given to us to give us wisdom, to draw us into all truth. We're not left helpless. All right, let's get on to the value exchange. The battleground is in our minds. Ever since you've been born, you've struggled for significance. Everything coming at you wants to say the opposite. I shouldn't say everything. A lot of you were raised in good homes, had a lot of positive input, but even the best home has some woundedness in it. We're just affected by this world. And so not everybody lives with a silver spoon in your mouth. There are places where you're going to get wounded. If it's not in your home, it's in your playground, in the playground with relationships and friendships and all of that going on. So when that happens, and it will, everyone has experienced woundedness at some level. Any place where our heart hurts, every negative we believe stems from a lie that we've accepted as truth at the moment of woundedness. That lie hit you so hard that even if it wasn't a spoken lie, my lie was that I needed to earn love. That was never spoken to me, but that came across very strong. And so I thought I had to be perfect. Weird thing was, I even got to the place as a young adult, I thought I was. Thought everybody else was messed up. That's what it does. These things evolve, they grow and mature. That lie gets in there and it gets bigger and bigger and it twists and turns. That's how the enemy works it, and our flesh agrees with it. So all that negativity. About halfway down on that first paragraph, it says, doubts, fear, anger will begin when we're very small. By the time we're adults, we have negative beliefs in place. We will struggle to overcome, or sometimes just learn to accept it as fact and do the best we can to move forward. At that point, it feels like our dreams are clouded and we struggle to move forward. Peace and hope seem elusive. By the way, I'm going to ask for a volunteer to come up and sacrifice yourself for a so that I can demonstrate this. So, got one right off the bat. Awesome. So, wait, I'm not ready for you yet, but thank you so much, because now I don't have to think about it. Awesome. That takes courage, people, so be praying for her. We struggle to overcome. At that point, it feels like our dreams are clouded, and everything becomes a struggle, right? Now you're living in negativity. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We can do it, because he's telling us that we can, right? This is, he's saying, do it. And too often churches, unfortunately, I'm not knocking churches, but historically the bigger body of Christ tells us to do it, but we don't know how. We get in your Bible, read, and pray. Those things are helpful, and sometimes, you know, we do get a measure of healing, but there's a how-to that is power, and it happens. I've not seen a memory yet. I've worked with someone who is so seriously fractured, has so many alter personalities that I lost count. And they have gotten profound healing, like one with their mind, through this method. So it's powerful. So this is power over the darkness. Number B, transformation is to change something. As we allow the Lord to heal our mind, number C, as we allow the Lord to heal our minds by exchanging truth for the lie, we believe our perspective is brought into unity and harmony, so we get that kingdom perspective. We get what Christ is thinking, not what we're thinking. Big difference. Unity and harmony with the Lord's thinking. So then we're not acting and reacting out of a wounded thinking, a wounded mindset, but we're acting and thinking out of Christ's wisdom and peace. Wouldn't that be awesome? The next time a trial comes at you, that trial has far less power than it did the first time. Now you see it differently. You're actually joyful because you know the outcome in your mind is going to be more healing and more freedom. So the next time that trial comes, it has even less impact. Pretty soon, they've lost their punch. Psalm 59, because of his strength, I will watch for you, for God is my stronghold. That's what this is doing. God is making God your stronghold. The stronghold of your mind is built on God's thinking, God, the way God thinks, the way Christ thinks, not your own. My God in his loving kindness will meet me. God will let me look triumphantly on my foes. So each trial, as you get healing from each trial, that triumph gets quicker and faster and bigger. And the trial looks smaller and pathetic could have been the first, identical to what you had 2 years ago, but now it looks like, really? What was the big deal? That's the way it is. Number D, God has a countermeasure to every scheme the enemy has to wound us. The Lord wants to be our stronghold. He knows what the hurtful things we've suffered has done to our hearts, but it truly is by his strength. Those hurts can be exposed and released to him in exchange for his peaceful protection over our hearts. So here's how we do it. So stronghold number E on the next page is a fortified place of security and survival. For every stronghold that we struggle with, there are perceived benefits. There's perceived benefits that have convinced us that we need this particular stronghold. Does that make sense? It's a different way of thinking. You know, for the last 2 years, I'm not kidding, 90% of the time I pick up my Bible, and I don't know why, I haven't got the idea to think about it before I pick it up, but I don't. It's like not there, that thought's not there. It's always upside down and backwards. That's beyond the law of average. Like, it's always upside and down and backwards. And the Lord just finally, after two, I love it when he waits that long, because then you struggle and struggle. So it's like, I always thought, am I doing something? I got something upside down and backwards. Something's wrong with my thinking. Like, God, am I teaching the scripture wrong or whatever? So I'm wrestling. And finally, the Lord said, yes, you've got it. It's upside down and backwards from the way the world thinks. Yeah. So how many of us would naturally think that an ungodly stronghold has a benefit to me? Right? We don't do that because our maturity, our Christian knowledge will say that's not right. That has, fear has no benefit to me. That's not right. Fear has a great benefit to you. Has a great benefit. If I hold on to fear's the expectation of something bad happening, right? That's the dictionary's version. Doesn't matter if it's spiders or airplanes or guns or whatever. Fear is the expectation of something bad happening. If I expect it, I'm made in the image of God. So I'm expecting it. There's a spiritual component that happens. I'm actually expecting something bad to happen. I'm using it to cushion my heart. Because if I expect it, then I'm not going to be so shocked when it comes. And I'm ready for it, right? If I'm expecting it, I'm also empowering it. That benefit of self-protection is a lie, because it still comes and it still hurts. We just subconsciously put that in place, so we hold on to fear, because if I leave fear out, if I get peace, then those things that come at me, I'm not going to have any defense ready. That's how this works. Every negative mindset, everything, anger is a huge one too. Anger is self-elevate, like Chris said, self-elevating. It's self-comforting. It's control. It's motivating. It's like got all these benefits. And you all know what the Bible says about anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. It says, be angry, for righteous anger is momentary, and it's anger at the right time. It does its job, and then it's gone. If you have trouble with anger as a constant trouble, like it comes up frequently, then there's something in place that you're using it as a benefit to protect you in some way or build you up or make you feel strong. So we have to get our flesh into this and think from a fleshy point of view, because that's what it is. And we have to turn this thinking around. And we know that all those bad things are bad and we shouldn't hold on to them. Even pornography, an addiction to pornography, addictions in general, there's a benefit to holding an addiction. Now, you know that's not right. There's no benefit. People always say, there's no benefit to that. Oh, yes, there is. It's doing something. You're smart. It's doing something for your flesh, or you wouldn't hold on to it. You're not stupid. You're smart in two ways. You're smart in the flesh and you're smart in the spirit. So those two, the flesh has to submit to the spirit. So we have to own that benefit that we've placed on it. So own the benefit that we've placed on addiction. It is for, what would you say, self-comfort? Yeah. It numbs pain. We use it to numb pain. Or we use it to fantasize, which is an avoidance of reality. So that's another way of avoiding pain. So it's really a pain protector. Protects you from pain in a lot of levels. All right? So everything that's negative, that is not God-focused, is self-focused, and there's a benefit to it. So you got to think like that. All right. The benefit justifies the stronghold. Together, they successfully keep you from resting in God's amazing peace. So here's how we do it. You identify the stronghold. We talked about what it would look like, fear, anger. Then identify the belief. So when that pimple gets popped and what comes out, grab that and go for it. Identify the belief, that you believe that it helps, keeps you bound to the stronghold. Most often I find that those benefits are for self-protection, self-comfort, self-elevation. A new one that keeps popping up pretty regularly that I find is motivation. So you might want to write that one in there. It's self-motivating. It motivates me to do better. It motivates me to try harder. It motivates me to get the job done or whatever. Number three. This is the only place where I have you picture yourself. It's not guided imagery ever that we do this, but picture yourself standing like, here's the altar, and just don't see me, just see Jesus standing here. Like, this is an altar, and Jesus is standing here, and the reason I love that right there, it's like God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac meant everything to Abraham. He was the promised child. Came after Abraham was even able to father children, right? Him and his wife. So he was a miracle child with a great destiny promised, and God asked him to sacrifice him. And he was going to. He got him up on that altar, and the most precious thing in his life to him, he was going to give it. Figuring that God had a better plan. He trusted God that much. He thought, well, I will surely do this for my Lord because I know he can raise the dead. I know that Isaac has a promise on him. He did it. And I'm sure there was with fear and trembling. So the same is true with us. It's a sacrifice. When we lay something on the altar that we have embraced and used and put value on, we need to sacrifice it because it's something we've put in value in place of what God has for us, not intentionally. God, this is not about judgment. I've had some pretty ugly stuff of my own up on that altar. When we give it on the altar, it's a sacrifice. And so we have to own the benefit, own the value we've put on it, and put it up there. So number four, get an understanding of the value you've placed on the belief. It will look or feel appealing. You have to own that value, however that looks like. If you get a lot of pictures, sometimes you'll get a picture. I had one time. I come from a long line of a very religious spirit, traced way, way back, hundreds of years. My family is on both sides. And I had, at one point, a religious spirit on me, and I saw it as a pretty, pretty, really gorgeous little silver birdcage. And I can sit in that cage, and I can stick my hand out and pray for people. I can talk to them. I have a lot of freedom in that birdcage, but it kept me safe from judgment. I was afraid stepping out of conservative into this setting where there is a lot of freedom that I would have a lot of judgment. And then being called to teach and things like that. There's even, you got to get rid of that stuff. So I'm in that cage and I'm sticking my hand out there and I'm praying for people. And then I got where I could set it on the altar, and I asked Jesus to show me what that looks like to him. I mean, he wasn't going to take it yet or anything. He just, what does that look like? What's my pretty bird cage look like to you? And suddenly transformed before my eyes, and it got black and oozing with like black blood, and it started, had got spikes coming to the inside, and it started twisting and constricting me and poking me, and I realized that there was no freedom there. I was a lie, and I confessed it, and I got a sword instead of a birdcage. So God always has a better value to give you in exchange for what you placed value on. And remember that picture, so your head knows, your mind knows, your wisdom knows that that religious spirit is not a good idea. But I let my flesh show me how my flesh really sees it, which looked pretty. That's what you have to do. Get your head, get logic out of it, and own the fleshly benefit that you've put on it. And it will be a good picture or a good feeling. Understand? So then when you get to that point, so this is our woundedness is what makes this feel like we need it. So it's your wounded self, not your, we're a mix. We're partly healed and partly wounded. We're partly wise and partly not so wise. You know, we're a mix. So we're trying to clean that up and come into unity with the Lord. Number five, when you get to this point, see how you'd feel. Sometimes we have a little struggle of giving up something. We don't want to. That doesn't feel good. I'll be unprotected if I give up fear. I hear that a lot. I have fear giving up fear. So at that point, just ask the Lord to talk to yourself. How do you think about that, God? If I give up fear, I'll be fearful. Doesn't make sense, but it does to the flesh. Or I'll be unprotected. Just let him give you his perspective. Once I hear the Lord's perspective, it's like, oh, okay, then go for it. You know, really. Because really, that's, then all of a sudden you get it. And then you're able to set that thing up on the altar. Number six. Well, and number five, here's what you would pray. I take authority over the power of that lie. If you get stuck somewhere, sometimes I have people, if you're praying with somebody else and they get stuck, I'm worthless, and that, and you can't seem to shift it. Even if the Lord invites, I hear what the Lord's saying, but it's not hitting me here. At that point, I just do this. I take authority over the power of that lie, and I command that power to go. I break it now in Jesus' name. It has to go. And then as soon as I do that, they're, oh, okay. I've not had that fail. Not once. You have authority over those deception. You have authority over deception. You need to know it. And so just even on yourself, I've done it to me. I take authority over the power of that lie. I break it, and Jesus, what do you want me to know about that lie? And listen, don't forget to listen. We talk too much and we don't listen. So I take authority. Number six, if you feel free at that point to give up your stronghold, the next step is to confess it and the benefit and break all agreements with it. Your prayer will sound something like this. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I have a stronghold of doubt. I've placed the value of self-protection on it. I ask your forgiveness for doing this. So in Jesus' name, I choose to break my agreement with doubt and the benefits of self-protection that I have placed on it. I command all ungodly assignments connected to these things to go now in Jesus' name. It's powerful. Ask the Lord at that point, just wait a second, and then ask the Lord to give you a value exchange. You want what he values. You want that place to be filled. You don't want to leave it empty. Don't ever leave it empty. Don't tell the Lord what to give you. Don't say, give me your peace, which is good, but you're going to get that. That's a given. Don't say, I want a sword. I've always wanted a sword. You know, don't do that. Don't do that, because he's all wise, and he knows just what you need to replace that with. So I just say, Holy Spirit, I ask you, clean this place out. And Jesus, what do you want me to have here? And then listen. Wait for it. Don't analyze it. If you analyze this, you're going to go ring around the rosy, and you'll never get off the ring. You'll wear a hole around the plant. Logic, it's not logical, but it is. But logic, you've tried to logicalize yourself into health for how many years? Get rid of a painful memory for how many years? And logic doesn't. It helps with understanding, but it doesn't heal the heart. We're healing the heart. The heart and the mind are going to come together at this moment in perfect harmony with God's plan, with God's thoughts. Okay. Number 8, check the belief and the stronghold and see what it looks like now. Then ask yourself this question. Does it still feel true that I need to hold on to doubt or whatever it was that you gave up in order to protect my heart? When you feel peace, even if he gives you a shield, you're going to feel peace. Peace is the result of truth imparted. So when you feel peace and that no longer feels true, that I need this, whatever it was, doubt or whatever, then you know that you've just gotten an attitude adjustment. You've gotten a kingdom perspective that unifies your heart and your mind with the mind of Christ. Yeah. All right. So after you do that, the enemy is, he's wise in ungodly ways. And he knows that you now have gotten free. He also knows that you probably don't believe that to a level. Because what he's going to do is say you have a history of fear. You have a history of being fearful. And so 10 minutes after you get the value exchange, you feel peace. It no longer feels true. You can also go back into memories where you felt peaceful. They should be peaceful. All right, so 10 minutes out. You're in a car and something comes up. You start arguing with whoever, or you start thinking about your job. You're about to lose your job or whatever it is. And fear, you can feel fear coming at you. You know what that is? It's only a poke. It's just a poke. It's like temptation. Temptation in itself is not a sin. Even Jesus was tempted. When we receive the sin and own it, then it's sin. When you receive the poke and own it, then you've got it back, and it's going to be stronger. So what happens is the enemy's going to poke you, and all you have to do, this is so simple, this needs to become your default. All you have to say, because you have to know, you have to stand in your healing. This is how you do it. I command that thought. As soon as you feel that poke, as soon as you recognize, I command that thought to go in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I just felt fear. What do you want me to know? And listen. And what he's going to do is that foundation. So he replaced sandy ground and gave you a solid foundation. Now you're on truth, standing on truth instead of deception. And so that truth, every time you allow him to speak and confirm that truth in you, then you're going to know and know, and your knower is going to grow. And every next time you feel that poke, it's like, psh, uh-uh. And the enemy, you will exhaust him. He'll just poke you somewhere else, though. But then that just exposes another pimple, right? Yeah. All right. So, that girl in the black, do I know your name? Well, my volunteer. She's not paying attention. Somebody poke her. She needs a poke. She needs a poke. So, hi. Do I know you?
No,
I'm Londa.
The minute I saw the notes, I knew why God told me to come here.
Awesome. All right, so I want you all to honor her because, what's your name?
Marietta.
Honor her because this is vulnerable and private and no judgment. If you do inner healing with somebody else, let God humble you first because it's a very humbling thing. I mean, I hear the worst confessions of sin, what we would say is the worst. I hear the worst stories. And I want that person, I can't set them free if I'm judging their sin. And so they can tell me the very worst thing that they've done or they're doing, and I need to have zero. They need to, because they'll feel it if you have it. So if you have that, let it get that. And you want to help other people set free, you got to get that gone. So let Jesus heal that. All right. So we're going to honor her, and so we're not going to talk about it after this, right? This is, so I'm going to demonstrate what this looks like and how easy it is. So Marietta, I'm just going to pray. Holy Spirit, I just invite you. I ask you, open Marietta up. That she is no anxious here, no fear. Of exposure, nervousness. God, just your peace. And Lord, I ask you help her to be open to hearing your word, your truth, and I thank you in advance for what you're going to do for her. In Jesus' name. So, Marietta, can you tell me what you'd like the Lord to do for you today?
I think the lie that I believe is that because I'm divorced, I'm damaged goods, and that I can't fulfill the call of the Lord on my life now.
So believing that you're damaged goods, what would the benefit to holding that belief be?
That I don't really have to do what I'm called to do because I'm afraid.
Yeah. See how that works? How would it feel to lay that up on the altar and let the Lord have that fear?
I really want to let go of it. I don't want it.
So no resistance. So you want to check for resistance, because if they are resisting, the enemy knows. And they know, and their flesh isn't going to be able to let it go. Does that make sense? So you want them to be fully free. So just picture Jesus and lay that, I'm damaged goods, and I'm using it to protect myself from my destiny. And to repeat after me.
Just say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I recognize. That I have held on to the belief. That I'm damaged goods. And I've used this belief. In order to self-protect. So that I won't fail in my destiny. Ask your forgiveness for doing this. So in Jesus' name.
I choose
to break my agreement
with this demonic belief.
I command
all demonic assignments
connected to the belief that I'm damaged goods
and the protection
has to go now
in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I ask that you cleanse this place for her. Just clean it out. And what would you like her to have in exchange? Just listen. How's that feeling? Can you share what the Lord shared with you? Are good tears. See the power in that, right? So we're just going to let her be with the Lord. So I'd like to take all of you through a session all at once. Every one of you have something negative that is a habitual belief in you. I don't care if it's fear, addiction, whatever it is. Everyone that can find one of those, I want you to raise your hand. Everybody, you know, y'all. All right. So, how would it feel to you? So don't be afraid of this, because I have healing team members that are going to come up here after we're done. And if you get stuck, it's okay. I'm going to have people up here that know how to do this and how to get you unstuck. So don't be afraid to go through this process with me. I want you to lay that belief on the altar. And is anybody not free to do that? Do you feel resistance? If you feel resistance, raise your hand. Okay, there's one here. Okay, would Chris, would you go and work with her? Okay, anybody else? All right, so lay the belief that you have right there on the altar. And so I'm going to, when I pause, you fill in the blank, okay? Just say, Jesus, I recognize that I have held on to. Put your word in there. And I've used this in order to benefit myself in this way. And state your benefit. I ask your forgiveness for doing this. So in Jesus' name, I choose to break my agreement with this demonic belief of, and I command every demonic assignment connected to this and its benefits, you have to go now in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I ask you, cleanse this place for them. What would you like to give them in exchange? Wait on it. How many of you feel like you've gotten victory right there? Raise your hand. Look at that. Keep them up. Keep your hands up. Turn around and look. You can do this in mass. All right? This is easy. Easy. How many of you feel like you got stuck? You didn't get an exchange. So I want you guys to come up into the front here, and I need a couple healing team members that know how to work this. Don't be shy. So just go ahead, you guys all come up. And anybody that wants help, or if you got something you feel like would be too hard, but right now I'm going to let her share what the Lord, is that all right? Share with the Lord.
Well, first I just heard Beauty for Ashes, and I remembered about that verse, and I always thought that that verse meant, I mean, I thought I kind of knew what that meant, but I don't really think that I ever really truly just asked what the beauty is. Like, what beauty are you talking about? And I saw like a cloud of glory, and then there was a crown, and I don't really have a lot of, I'm going to pray more into it, but it was beauty for my ashes. And I saw my ashes just kind of being like thrown away. Like they don't really mean anything anymore. So I'm cool with that.
So does it still feel true to you that?
No, I feel like, what was I thinking?
I love it. I never get tired of that. Do you see how that she was so locked up right there, and now she's like, it seems ridiculous. I love it. Thank you.
When I was a kid, that we had this picture on our wall of this little boy was like this, and he said something about God don't make no. I don't remember. I know I'm valuable because God don't make no junk. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, God doesn't even identify with damaged goods. What is, you know, what are we thinking? We're not. So.
All right. So, so you guys spread out a little bit and let the healing team work with you. Anybody else have any questions about the teaching? Don't be shy. This is a workshop. It's not Sunday. It's Sunday preaching. This is a workshop. Anybody have a question? Y'all know how to do it? I expect good reports then. Go out and use it, because make it a lifestyle. You're not powerless. And so this is one way that you can bring healing. I've worked with people in the grocery store, in like crazy, but restaurants, do a lot of restaurant stuff. On the beach, it doesn't matter. And it's not my suggestion, okay? Just because this is my ministry, I'm not, don't be afraid. If you're around me and you get all upset about something, I'm not gonna do that. But people ask me. But they'll ask you if they know you have an answer. If they are aware that you can lead them into freedom, they'll ask you. So I hope you feel empowered. I bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. So, Father, I just thank you for freedom. Thank you for victory. Thank you for power, God, that you have given us power to set the captives free. There is no stronghold other than you, God, that we want to partner with. And so I thank you for the revelation of how easy this is. You didn't make it difficult. And I ask that you help everyone here to walk out in freedom and with the confidence that they can carry this powerful tool into the marketplace, out into the world. I bless you all in Jesus' name.